Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. Hopefully we don't sound any different, but we're not going to have the stream today because we are in a separate studio. We're in Studio C, which is just sort of a catch-all studio. Studio B is our big, fancy, normal studio. But tomorrow, as Michael Calhoun was just saying on the news, is 1120 Day, which we celebrate every year, 1120 and 1120. But this year is our 100th anniversary come Christmas Eve. And so tomorrow, as I've been telling you for the past week or so, we are blowing all the programming out. And from 8 in the morning until 6:30 in the evening, the current hosts will be hosting all of the KMOX OGs like Costas and, you know, Carragher, and John Carney will be on with me in the morning to talk about his dad. So for any radio nerds or for people who have listened to KMOX for any amount of time, it should be a really fun day. It's going to be chaotic. It's chaos right here, right now. I mean, we're in this studio that we're not used to being in. We come in here when we need to, like, record endorsements or something like that. And we're out here because they are prettying up and making sure everything works in Studio B.
Sure.
That'd be kind of bad if tomorrow things go wrong.
Gotta have that.
But so we'll be in here all day. No stream today. Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll stream tomorrow.
Be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
It'd be kind of cool.
If you see all the, I'm guessing that's the plan, so you can see all the different people that are coming through. Because I know a lot of them are in person.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but a lot of them are.
I think so.
Yeah.
Rach, is your mic not working?
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey. Here we go.
There you go.
I am almost certain we are streaming tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Everybody's going to be streaming.
Yeah, that did kind of make no sense to
have
all those people in.
Let's see all the lovely people.
Not see them. So there you go. We'll be doing our show for the next 4 hours from Studio C. Hopefully it sounds okay. Wheeler is back.
Wheels,
I know that you were not gone for a vacation. You're gone for a celebration of life, but how did it go?
I mean, you know, as well as it can, right? I mean, Saturday was a rough day. That was probably, I don't know, it's probably top two or three toughest days in my life.
Wow.
You know, I mean, you know, my sister-in-law passed away, 49 years old, and you know, that was the memorial service. And, my brother, one of his great talents is he's really good at video editing. And he's one of those people that, and he admits this, so this is not any kind of shot, that he videos everything, whether it's his phone or a camera that he brings or whatever. So he basically had all of their 15 years together, like a whole history of it. So he did like a 40-minute video kind of in addition to the in-person eulogies that were taking place. So it was both great and terrible at the same time. Like, it was incredibly well done, really moving. People really got a lot out of it, especially the people that didn't know her as well as the rest of us did. But yeah, it's not a fun day.
Yeah,
it's a tough weekend and it's a tough time for for all of our immediate family, but especially my brother and his daughter.
How's your niece doing?
I mean, hanging in there. You know what I mean? She's 12, so I think looking at her and just knowing her personality, I mean, she's clearly affected, but how could you not be?
Of course.
I mean, like, it's what you would expect. I'd be shocked if she seemed normal. Like, who would? Nobody would. So, but they have a great support system, and obviously we're all real tight, so we'll get them through it.
That's great.
It'll take time, but we'll get them through it. And they've got so many cool people in their area that have stepped up, you know, driving her back and forth to school and to dance and bringing food over 3 or 4 days a week, things like that. So they've got a lot of people looking out.
Good.
Yeah.
Good to have you back.
Good to be back.
Let's talk about this latest thing with Donald Trump right off the top. The quiet piggy thing. So Rach and I saw this on Friday, and I don't know about her, but I didn't talk about it because I just knew it had to be AI. There's no way that happened. It had to be fake. And then over the last couple of days, it's been on all the major networks, and I've seen the video and I've heard the audio many, many times. And if you have not, if you're living under a rock or something, Donald Trump is on Air Force One doing the little press gaggle, and he's taking questions, and you know how the press is always like, oh, Mr. President, Mr. President. And one of the reporters from Bloomberg was asking a question. And at the same time that someone else was asking a question, and Donald Trump physically moves forward, puts his finger in her face and says, quiet, quiet, piggy. And no one says anything. I'm assuming they're shocked. I know it's not the 1940s anymore and women don't need men to stand up for them, but it's hard to imagine that there were any men in there that didn't at least say, hey, someone say something. But no one said anything. And, yeah, let me just say this on behalf of men. There's never a time, the way I was raised at least, where you stick your finger in someone's face and tell them to be quiet, piggy. It's just so disrespectful. It's so over the top. It's so just, who does that? Who in the hell does that? But we're not talking about just any man and any woman. We're talking about the President of the United States with a member of the press on Air Force One. And put aside policy, put aside tariffs, put aside all this stuff. Come on. It's just flabbergasting. So, Rach, I should be letting you talk, but I just needed to get that out of my face.
Well, it's actually not that surprising to me because this is not the first time Donald Trump has called a woman a pig. He's done this several times in the past. This is not someone I expect to have respect for, not only just women but other people. He's not a respectful person. He's a mean and nasty person, period. And so there's a lot of rumors floating around like on X and Facebook and stuff. Like, he wasn't saying piggy, he was saying Peggy. Well, the reporter's name is not Peggy.
No,
and the White House has essentially acknowledged that he called her Piggy and said, well, she wasn't being respectful. And as we all know, in pre-K, we are taught that if someone's not respecting you, you just go way lower and go as hurtful and mean, as rude as possible, right? Like, that's what you're supposed to do when you're 4 years old. I actually didn't see this on Friday. I saw it very early yesterday morning, and I thought the story had to be fake at first. And then I was quite surprised to see that it actually happened on Friday. And this sort of thing is just so not shocking anymore and so a part of our normal at this point that it does take several days to gain steam and heat up, because I think the average person is just very exhausted by this type of thing.
If he were any sort of man, he would apologize.
He's not going to. He doesn't for anything.
At minimum.
He doesn't for anything. What thing has he ever apologized? In fact, he was asked during a debate, have you ever made any mistakes? And he basically couldn't answer. And here's the thing that just, I only know this from a guy's perspective. If someone said that to your mom, your wife, or your sister, how would you feel? What would your reaction be? What would you want to do?
Punch him in the face.
You would want to. Now, you're not going to punch the President of the United States because you're going to prison. But you would speak up.
Yeah.
You would say something. And I don't care who it is. If it was your mom, your wife, your sister, and anyone said that, you would at least say something. You may not be a fighter. You may not want to get into all of the legal. And I'm not even saying it's right to do that. That's not the point. But it would be your instinct. It would be how you would feel. And then you got a guy who himself probably weighs 300 pounds. Look in the mirror, man. Like, I'm not a fan. I don't care if he was skinny. It would be just as bad. But, like, how do you expect to be taken seriously when you're like, anything about me is perfectly fine and everything about everyone else is worthy of ridicule?
And, look, I'm not stupid. I understand the difference between a reporter from Bloomberg and a world leader. But what a juxtaposition of the crown prince of Saudi getting this amazing reception and horses and state dinners and just pulling out all the stops. That's how he treats that guy. And then a United States citizen doing their job as the press, asking a perfectly valid question, the question everyone's asking, and that's how you react.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's not hard to read. He does not care about humans. He cares about himself. So why would he care more about MBS than about a reporter? That reporter can't do anything for him. Mm-hmm. It can't aggrandize him. It can't boost his ego. It can't make a deal on any important thing. But MBS can, right? All of these international people. The reason he kisses the asses of dictators around the world is because they can do something for him, even if it's just as simple as agreeing to a deal that makes him look good. But nobody who's asking a question can do anything for him. So that's it. It's entirely, you want to know when he'll be nice? He'll be nice to anyone who he thinks can do something for him.
And before we leave this
topic, by the way, very Christian of him.
Yeah. The whole, you know his favorite Bible verse.
Too many to name.
It's quiet,
Too many to name. But it really bothered me the thing he said about Khashoggi as well. Just as a human, you know, I mean, we know, first of all, it wasn't just the CIA who came to the conclusion that MBS ordered the execution of a United States journalist who is living here. And he says, well, you know, not everyone liked that guy and things happen. What? What a way to deal with someone who was murdered and chopped into pieces at the Saudi consulate.
Yeah. And also the guy who thinks that wrapping everything in gold makes it classy. Classy is not about how it looks, right? Classy is about how you act.
It's a good point.
And, I mean, as you said, this is not about policy. If you agree with policies, that's a different thing. If you think that's okay, there's something wrong with you.
And I started doing my preambles like, maybe there's something I don't understand. No, I understand it all. I'm tired of the preambles. I'm tired of catering to people who are just like so far gone. But if this were my favorite politician of all time and every policy was perfectly aligned with my values, what I want for my family, this is my guy. And he did that, I would 100% be saying exactly the same thing.
Yep.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I talked to my MAGA friend today. You know what he told me?
Mm.
It's because I'm woke. This is the way real men used to talk.
Ask him how he would feel if someone said it to his wife. Because if someone said it to his wife, I guarantee you his reaction wouldn't be that. And I guarantee you he wouldn't think he was woke for being pissed about it. But see, this is the point about being a part of a society. You shouldn't have a different standard of how you think things should go for you and your family versus literally everyone else. It should be the same logical standard. If you wouldn't want to be treated some way, don't treat others that way. I think that's in the Bible somewhere. In fact, I think it was maybe pointed out as the most important thing to do.
And you know what? Policies come and go. Tariffs come and go.
Yes.
Presidents come and go. But the president isn't who we are.
Nope.
We get to choose who we are as a people, as a country. And I choose to not be that. I don't want that to be the way people look at the United States, because that's the way we're presenting ourselves. People aren't making things up. They're just pointing out the obvious. And it's just disgusting.
Use this as an analogy for how, you can say it doesn't matter, but it clearly does, because everybody has to get along. Nations need to interact, right? They need, and they will have opinions of each other. So how do you feel about the nation of Iran. Most people have a very negative feeling about it. But the average people there don't want any of the stuff. In fact, they're being repressed by their leadership. But what do we think of them? We think of their leadership when we think of their nation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening around the world with us. Not to that level, obviously.
Yeah.
It's not that big. But the point is, when you represent us, you should represent us.
And I really do. We've been talking about this for 10 years now. But I do wonder what it would take for his supporters to not even abandon him, but just to go, that's not okay. Mr. President, I love what you're doing with this, this, and this. Please don't ever do something like that again. That's beneath you. It's beneath the office. It's beneath humans. It's beneath the United States. What would it take?
I mean, I just don't think there's any room for that. And President Trump has made that very clear.
Oh, yeah. You're gone if you say something like that.
He is not interested in any sort of constructive criticism, even if you do lead with, hey, I love everything you're doing here. Thank you so much, sir. If you say anything negative, you're on the outs. So I think a lot of people have just made the decision, like, I don't want to be on the outside. I want to be on the inside. And I guess a woman's going to get called piggy at work every once in a while, and we're just all going to have to deal with it.
I mean, that's the hard part, right? Because what are you choosing there? You're choosing to do the right thing or maybe lose your job. Or at least your assignment, if not your job.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
Welcome back, guys. DG, S, and KMOX. Let's see. Coming up at 2 p.m., I'm excited to do this personally. You guys know all about my No One Dies Alone work with hospice, and we've added so many volunteers from the DGS in the past year. And I don't think these guys are from DGS, but along the way, we picked up a dozen or more WashU students, you know, 18 to 22-ish, who not only do what I do, they do 10 times what I do. Like, they are just there more often. They visit people sometimes every day. They'll be live in studio at the top of the hour, get to meet those guys. It just makes me feel better about the younger generation. I can't believe I'm now old enough to be talking about the younger generation, but it does. It makes me feel like, oh, fantastic.
Oh, it makes me want to cry.
Sweet, isn't it?
I mean, because, you know, so many people in college, you know, college is about, it's about you, right? Like, you just turned into a young adult. You're on your own for the first time. So there's a lot of just, like, sleeping in late and going to parties and skipping class.
Yeah.
The fact that these kids want to go help other people with their spare time, that's incredible.
Yeah, one of the guys, when you're put on hospice, it's like a legal thing because Medicare pays for it. And I think you have to have 6 months or less to live, diagnosed by a doctor. But now and then people live longer and they will take them off the list. You know, hey, we're no longer going to cover hospice, which means you're no longer going to get visits. Because we do two things at No One Dies Alone. We sit vigils with people who are literally dying. And then you have patients who are your responsibility to visit. And one of these patients got taken out of hospice, and he kept going to see her every day just because he had a relationship
Very
with
cool.
her. Isn't that cool?
That's amazing.
And full of muscle. I said, do you speak my language?
Welcome back, guys. DGS on Camel Wax. Happy Wednesday to you. No stream today because we are not in our typical Studio B. We're in Studio C, which has no cameras. And we'll be back up tomorrow, but tomorrow's going to be 11:20 day, Camel Wax day. And as we've been telling you, we're blowing the whole day out and we're all switching places and switching partners and having a bunch of the KMOX OGs on and talking about some of the OOGs, like all the way back. Like we're talking about the guy Franz Lux, who did the very first Cardinals play-by-play in 1926.
That's so cool.
It's nuts. Crazy. Yeah,
man, that is nuts.
I'm really excited to just learn more about KMOX tomorrow. Because, I mean, obviously a lot of the programming is going to be geared towards longtime fans of the radio station, but it's also like a really good opportunity for, like, let's say if you never listened until the DGS moved over to KMOX.
A lot of people like that.
This is going to be a really cool history lesson for a lot of people.
Yeah, for all of you listening now, DGS fans, I will be on tomorrow from 10 to noon with Amy and then with Charlie Brennan. And we will have guests like Bob Costas and John Carney and be talking about Jim White and Jack Carney, so it should be a lot of fun. I had a question for you guys, and it's perfect for Wheeler, because you're a coach. So you and I played a ton of sports, and we had a ton of coaches. And my coaches were very much like this. You stupid son of a bitches! I've never seen anyone who's worse at anything in their lives! You're a bunch of losers! But when we separated from them, or they retired, or God forbid they passed away, we shed real tears. We loved those men. Even though they abused us, we loved them. And I was thinking about that last night. I was watching a couple of TikToks featuring coaches doing that. And I thought, if I did that, if I was like, Zimmerman, are you running the board with your butt? What is going
on? Man, what a party trick.
When I retire, she wouldn't be shedding tears of anything but joy, right?
Yeah.
It's just weird how coaches can just scream at you and tell you you're the worst ever.
But they were more than that, though. Like, that's what I mean, those are memorable moments, like when you're getting chewed out or your punishment running or whatever. But it was more than that, because I had a lot of coaches, and I never had none of my favorite coaches, none of the ones that had the biggest impact on me, were just plain old nice guys. They were both. They were instructors, they were helpful, but they were also going to get on your ass if you weren't doing what you're supposed to do, especially when it comes to effort. And I have no memories of learning anything from any coach that was just nice and laid back the whole time.
Interesting.
And I had those guys. But it's not that they're always screamy. My high school coach, the head coach, was not a yeller, but he could be very strict. He could be very demanding of what he wanted. College coaches, they were mostly like cool and nice. They tried to treat you like men until they couldn't. But when it was time, it was time.
Interesting.
And I think you gotta have both. I don't think one or the other works. I think calm works, but calm still has to come with some demand. With some kind, even if it's not screaming and yelling, although, you know, screaming and yelling when you're dealing with, I can only go by my own experience, both as a player and coaching, when you're dealing with teenagers or people in their early 20s, sometimes it's the only way to get their attention in that setting, right? Because you're outdoors, there's a group of them, they tend to sometimes screw around. And again, I'm going by my own experience, even in college. Hey, when it was time to let us know, it was time to let us know. And it was not, but if it's all the time, nonstop,
loses its effect. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's not effective, but it's also ridiculous. It's not going to help. You're actually going to make things worse.
Do you think there's also a difference when it comes to like the fact that you're addressing an entire team and it's like 20 guys getting the tongue lashing at the same time, as opposed to like, yeah, if it was an individual sport and your coach is just screaming in your face, like that might have more of an emotional impact.
Yeah. I mean, I've had both. I mean, I've given both. I've had it where you're getting to one person and you're getting on them hard. Usually it's not a screaming face-to-face, but I'm also coaching younger players, so it'd be weird if I was like fully screaming. I'm like, don't get me wrong, I have yelled and I have gotten close, up close, whatever, to explain whatever or to say that's not okay. Mostly it's about effort, though. Like 99 times out of 100, It's about teaching people that your effort matters and you're letting teammates down and you're not, you know, you're not going where you need to go.
Yeah.
But I've had it. I've had people in my face screaming at me, and those were still some of the coaches I would write down as the ones that were the best ones I ever had.
Wheels, have you come across many kids where you do get in a situation like that with them, you're trying to give them feedback, and then you're kind of realizing, yep, I don't think they want to be here at all.
Yes, all the time. And then you just stop doing it. You stop yelling, I mean. Like, when you get to that point where this kid just, he's not that into it, or that doesn't work. Because there are some kids that can't, if you do that, it won't work. It'll have the opposite effect. They shut down, they go the other direction.
Yeah.
So part of, and this is why, to me, coaching, managing, whatever, any kind of supervisory authority position, you have to spend the time getting to know people before you're that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I spend a whole, with my players, I spend a whole, you know, the fall is usually pretty casual. Spring is usually a little more intense, right? But I get them in the fall, and then I have them all winter long. So before there's any real screaming, yelling intensity, I know them, and I've known them for 6 months. And I think that that's important, because I'll know in advance that kid, I can't do that. He can be a part of the group being yelled at, but if I do that individually, he's not going to take it well. There are other kids that need it. Like, if you don't go that route, it's not going to get through. And that's a hard thing. That's, to me, the hardest thing about either being in a position of management or being a coach or whatever, is trying to figure out that each person's a little different.
It's so great that you care that much, that you take the time to get to know them and then apply it. I don't think every coach does. A couple of moments I have from my coaching years being coached. The very first pads football practice I ever played, because I was a Sandlot star. I'd never played with pads. And it was ninth grade, and it was the opening practice. And the coach handed me a tackling dummy. And Perry Steelman, who was about 6'3", 220 pounds in ninth grade, got a full run, hit me, knocked me on my ass, busted my lip, because I didn't know I was supposed to hit him back. I just stood there. And the coach came over to me, and he helped me up, and he said, "Life lesson, son, if you don't protect yourself, you're never going to make it in this world." I'm 61 years old, and I'm still talking about that.
Yeah, yeah.
And the second time was, we had Coach Rach and Coach Bill Smith. And they're just men, right? And Coach Smith was big. And you know those things that wrestlers wear when they're trying to cut weight, those like trash bag sweaters? He always wore one of those. And it was the next year, and it was doubles practice. And it was about 10 in the morning. It was about 93 degrees. And we're doing hit-its on the dusty ground. And my mouth was full of dust, and we couldn't get a drink. And I had to come back for another workout. And I'm like, this sucks. I'm going to quit. So I started to walk off the field. The coach is standing there with his clipboard, doesn't even look up at me. And he says, "You're going to regret it the rest of your life."
Yeah.
And I turned around. I went back.
Yeah.
Once again, like, no, I mean, I'm not anti-yelling. I'm not like that woke. Like, I've been coached. But those were like very quiet, subtle life lessons.
Yeah. And I'm sure they yelled too. And
yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's about the balance, because sometimes the yelling is about creating an intensity. So what's hard is to be really good in a physical thing. Because it's not just sports, but I think it's true. I think this is true of, for example, going through basic training, being in the military, going through Ranger school, going through, whatever it takes to become a Navy SEAL or whatever. They're not patting you on the back,
mm-hmm,
because doing physically difficult things requires you going someplace you don't necessarily like going to. And one of the most memorable things I have is like what you're talking about is my catching coach in high school. I'd never caught before I was a junior in high school. I caught like 10 times my life before that. And we were making that change during the off season, and he was beating the living hell out of us, like physically, because it's hard and you've got to get used to it. And I remember him in my face, not yelling at all, but like, that super intense, almost half whisper, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's like, "This is not easy. And if you can't do this, you can't do this position." And he's like going through it. So once you get through, and then once you find out is when you get pushed past that line you don't think you can cross, you realize, oh God, I can.
Yeah.
And I can even go further.
Yeah.
And that's what that intensity is for. It's hard. It's competing. And that guy that you're facing, the team you're facing, the other guys, they're trying to knock you down. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Probably my favorite coaching moment. I've told this story before, so indulge me. But my senior year was the first year that we had a soccer team.
Oh.
And I had played soccer, and not that many kids did. Like, I was from Roxana, Granite City. They were great at soccer. South County, obviously. But we just, you know, we weren't soccer players. And me and this other kid, Chris Owsley, were pretty good. And everyone else, not everyone else on the team, but there were a lot of people, kids on the team who had never played a sport before. Because, you know, hey, it's the first year, first season.
Right.
And our very first game against Alton, who were good, the coach gets everyone together. And he says, four passes. No one takes a shot on goal before we make four passes. I see anyone take a shot before I count four passes and your ass is riding the bench. Do you understand me? Yes, coach. We all go running off. And he goes, Glover, Owsley, come here. We go over there and he goes, if I see you pass to one of these idiots, he said, I don't care if you get the ball at midfield, you try to score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
Welcome back, guys. DGS coming to you from Studio C today. We apologize for the lack of the stream, but everyone is busy. Like, you know, the cartoon when we were little, the cobbler and all the elves come and help him build shoes.
Yes.
That's what's going on in Studio B right now. Everyone's in there just scrubbing everything down.
It's like we're in Santa's workshop.
Yeah, very much. Very much.
We're in the Keebler tree.
Couple of fun science things. You guys know how into Denisovans I am.
Yeah.
And Denisovans were a branch of humans that lived contemporaneously with Neanderthals and Homo sapiens. And we've always thought that Neanderthals were our nearest relative. And a new study came out today saying that it's actually the Denisovans. And I've been so into the Denisovans because they're basically Bigfoot. They're like 8 feet tall, 400-pound behemoths, and truly lived in caves. Isn't that cool?
Neat.
Yes, neat. And everything keeps getting pushed back. And a new article came out, I believe in Nature, that we now believe, get this, that we were seafaring 40,000 years before we thought we were.
Really?
Whoa.
Yes. That nuts?
What was the ship like? You know?
Basically like a big canoe.
Hmm.
Yeah. But they found evidence that they were taking plants and pulling out the fibers and making ropes.
Okay. I'm really scared of the open ocean.
Mm-hmm.
I would not feel comfortable. Like, even if I were on like a Carnival cruise ship or something, I think I would just be freaking out a little bit. But just put yourself in the mindset of, okay, hey, we're going to go out to sea for the first time ever. Jump in the big canoe. And let's hope nothing goes wrong. Like, just putting myself as much as I can in that position, I think I would just be crying nonstop.
Yeah.
Like, I would not ever feel relaxed or feel good or feel happy. Just nonstop stress.
I feel that way about battle. Because yeah. I'm a big nerd about the military and I'm watching Ken Burns' Revolutionary War, and I'm something of a Civil War buff, which the first time I told Maureen that, she thought I meant I'm a Civil War reenactor. And we were on one of our first dates, and we were walking around a mall, and there was like a Civil War uniform, and I go, oh, I'm kind of a Civil War buff, which alone is not typically the way to get laid. And she thought I meant reenactor.
Oh, boy.
And so it was an awkward next couple of dates. But when I read about it, I just think, I think I know who I would be. I don't think I would be the guy winning the Medal of Honor. But I also don't think I would be the guy crouched down, not fighting. And I base that on other tough stuff I've been through, you know, physical things and sports and what have you, the closest analogy I have. But I'm typically a, this sucks, let's just put our head down and get through it, one way or the other. So I think that's probably who I would have been, but there's every chance I would have been crying next to a fence with someone trying to make me take part in Pickett's Charge, pretending I had a swollen ankle or something.
I'm convinced from listening to, and like you, I've always been interested in those types of things. I've never done it, right? I mean, like, our generation has not been called in the way that, you know, the World War II generation was, or even in Vietnam, let's be honest. I mean, like, people didn't have a choice. There's a difference between a volunteer, someone who decides I'm going to do this, versus people just pulled in and it's like, yep, guess where you're going?
18-year-old kid.
Yeah. I'm convinced from listening to those interviews and seeing the documentaries that you just have no idea until you're in the moment, like who you'll be and what you're going to be, because it isn't, it's so foreign. Like, it's so foreign to your normal existence.
And the war fighters I've had the privilege to get to know as friends have all told me the same thing.
Really?
They said, it's training.
Yeah.
Said, there are individuals who are special.
Right.
But the training is set up as such, so that you can take a normal guy who was a pharmacist last week and turn them into a fighter.
Right. And again, that's the difference to me between the people that choose it, and you're choosing to be a professional soldier, Marine, sailor, pilot, you know, whatever it is. You are saying, this is in me. I want to go get that. And that training is different than someone who's being drafted. And you're getting basic training and then whatever specialty training you're going to get, depending on what you're assigned to. And that's it. And off you go. That's a whole different thing. And I think that's the one we're talking about. I wouldn't put any normie that's drafted in the same category as someone who signed up right out of high school and wanted to go be a Marine or wanted to go be a fighter pilot or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How long we have here, Rach?
1 minute.
Remember the Key Bridge crash from last year when that giant ship ran into the bridge in Baltimore?
Yes.
Did you see they figured out what caused it?
Mm-hmm.
It was one wire. One wire came loose and caused a short that sent everything cascading.
Jeez.
That's terrifying.
Isn't that amazing?
How many wires are there in the world?
Right?
Well, it mostly works.
And also, when you first said it, I thought you said it was one liar, and I'm like, we got to get this guy. He caused so much destruction.
There's no bridge there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.